Long past the hour for quitting labour, amid the smoke-filled haze of the south gate, the after-lodge crew continues to linger in the rubbish of the temple, under the watchful eyes of Right Worshipful Grand Censor Bob. Not recognised nor endorsed by any grand or subordinate lodge of regular masons, irregular masons, co-masons, Canadian masons, or internet wannabe masons, they banter on as always. Puffing cigars, drinking stale coffee, making terrible jokes, studying agency law, spreading the intemperance and excesses of digital masonry, and generally disappointing all 7 of their podcast subscribers. Do yourself a favour and stop listening now. Only trolls and masochists dare to eavesdrop upon this After Lodge banter.
Welcome to episode 300 of the After Lodge podcast. This is After Lodge Harlan tuning in to remind everybody that the rumors of our demise were greatly exaggerated. Because Sir John is still here.
I've made it back somehow.
And Chuck went and spent a little too much time in Fez.
A lot of money for
I have a new funny hat.
Yeah, I don't even know what you call that.
It's a cap.
That looks like Slavic.
It's literally a cap.
I'm pretty sure that if you put a Z on the top of it, you would fit in with the Russian troops of some variety.
Oh, yeah, and a little bit of fur.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of fur somewhere.
Russia. Yeah.
Is still around in Canada?
I am still around in Canada.
Bruce is missing in action.
It's too bad.
Not actually sure where Bruce is. He might have just
IDO neighbors to the recording south.
Because that would be the norm for, what is it, 5 weeks now?
Oh, it's way too long, guys.
Yeah, we're a little behind, but that's okay because
you're
busy because Chuck's been busy putting together that special campaign.
I actually have been working on that, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yes, I hope so.
There we go. And of course, you know, we've all had lodge and life and sickness and
yeah.
Chuck's been busy starting the grotto.
Year and a day. Got enough guys to do it. More than enough guys, actually. Whole lot of paperwork now. Fun fact, when you want to start a grotto, you don't have to already be members of a grotto to be Master Masons. So for all those, the more you know. Getting regalia is kind of a bitch. Because a lot of places don't make grotto stuff. And the places do, it's like, yeah, well, you know, it's like 10 to 12 weeks.
That's a long time.
And at least you need months to get anything. So, yay. And we're trying to have this set up by like August. So, it kind of sucks doing the paperwork, not starting the new grotto. That's actually really cool. Supreme Council, don't murder me. I actually do think this is pretty cool. It's just trying to get everything in house and stuff and set up is mainly happening about a year and a half to 2 years faster than I thought it was, because apparently I'm amazing. I also got invited to your, Knight York Cross of Honor, which is the invitational body where you have to have been a member of all four, have to have been a past head of body of all the four York Rite bodies. So past master, past high priest, past thrice illustrious master or illustrious master based on jurisdiction, and past eminent commander. So I'm
because we need more invitational bodies in the York Rite.
Right, John. But also, the joke kind of like I kind of want to be like joking about it. Like, so the degree cannot have any more self-flagellation than ever I put myself through being the head of multiple Masonic bodies, a lodge, chapter for 2 straight years, including COVID, a council, and a commandery when the Grand Commander was a member of my commandery. Oh, and for the council, I kicked off the 200 for our entire state. So that was awesome. So I'm really hoping the ritual is like, Congratulations, you're a schmuck. Here's your jewel.
Sounds right.
Preferable.
I have breaking body formation news.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
You're joining chapter?
Why you gotta kill my thunder, Chuck?
I just guessed.
Well, I'm not just joining a chapter. I am starting a chapter.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh, at your lodge or what?
So, yes. My other lodge, so not the one that you guys are familiar with, but the T.O. lodge we bag on all the time.
T.O. likes appendant bodies?
That's well, new. It sort of. So we recently, yeah, I mean, all of us met in the Scottish Rite when we got together to do this thing. So it's, anyway, there's another lodge.
I hate you guys less now.
That has been following us down this path and kind of got ahead of us in a lot of ways. And they, along with ourselves, both went and moved to a new building new to us. It's an old building with a lodge who couldn't keep up their building anymore, but was also trying to do some awesome things with the limited resources they had. So now there's these three lodges that we do a lot of stuff together because we're all kind of have the same interest in, shall we say, a more traditional masonry. I can't actually say traditional observance because that's a brand and you have to be certified and none of us are. But same type of thing, right? Well, someone figured out that there was a charter available under whatever rules the Grand York Rite has for how many of those you can have and where, etc. So they got the paperwork together and you have to have so many signatures of current chapter members and then also X number of Master Masons.
Right.
So I have signed.
That's your state's Grand Chapter. The General Grand Chapter actually has no justification to tell us to do anything we don't want to.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is, I don't understand because I'm not in it, but I've signed the the petition that I will be one of the first candidates once we're granted this charter with those guys. We also, I believe, after this, intend to get a council started and not a commandery. So
that's all right.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll like the chapter and council degree.
Well, because I'm not the only non-Trinitarian Christian in these three lodges, right? I'm the only Jew, but there's a lot of other religious identities in this.
There's a so in general. The council is awesome. I'm biased for reasons. Chapter's pretty good too. But commander, I mean. You don't need a chapter council commander in every location because they feed up. So, like a chapter and a council being located in one location with like a lodge or a couple lodges makes sense because the lodges feed into the chapter feeds into the council, and the guys who want to go do commandery go to commandery. So, you don't chartering a commandery isn't really necessary, like you because just because of the way the structure works.
Makes sense.
I know.
I don't know. Based on, since you're from Western Pennsylvania, like at least I don't know if it's still true, but it was when I joined. Is that in Pennsylvania, they did not require council to join the commandery.
So I never.
So I never joined council until I moved to Connecticut. Because I could not affiliate with my commandery until I'd gone through the council degrees. Because in Western Pennsylvania, there's not a lot of councils. So, just never did it. Wish I'd done it earlier. Because the Royal Master is one of the best degrees in all of Freemasonry, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. And being with this bunch of guys, just the guys that are putting it together and the reasons they're putting it together is kind of what pushed me over the, okay, I'll do this. I'll be a York Rite guy for you guys.
And Harlan, I would be eligible for a bunch of the invitational bodies.
Yeah. But what's funny is that one of the guys who's joining the grotto I'm forming is he does the kosher thing, right?
Mm-hmm. The kosher thing.
I don't know what to.
He keeps kosher.
And he, you know, he was explaining to me how he had an issue with the whole Holy Saints John thing when he first joined Masonry and all that stuff, and he kind of got over it over historical reasons. And he's kind of not looking into the York right at all because of the commandery. And I was like, well, there's really no such thing as the York right because it's just bodies that require to be members of each other. And I was like, and if you can't do council, chapter or council because you can't do commandery, well, that's not right. And by the way, you want to do Scottish right. And if you can get through the 18th degree, with all the preamble and all the bullshit in front of it. And he's like, well, I don't have to see that degree, right? I'm like, you don't.
Well, you do here.
You do. Well, Northern Masonic.
Right. It's one of the five mandatories here.
And I was like, well, I think they're making it now. If you get the 17th or the 18th now. I can't remember what they're doing.
Yeah, we're not.
But the thing is that should I was be. Like, and I was like, if you have an issue with the concept of the Holy Saints John and Blue Lodge, which is a historical thing mm-hmm. for Freemasons in England building churches, mm-hmm. you're going to have a real hard problem with the 18th degree.
Yeah, if he's got that kind of struggle, I'd recommend finding the local B'nai B'rith chapter and.
Boys, why are we talking about all these other appendant bodies? The only other appendant body that matters
is the shrine.
I'm just waiting for the things to come flying at me.
Fine. The shrine will be gone soon anyway.
Oh, it will.
I mean, not gone. They'll still exist. They just won't be in our little thing. So
not long. Not long.
I've got my retired.
A short time in Masonic timelines, which by that I mean before I'm dead, I expect that the shrine will not be an appendant body.
Oh, that it'll spin off and just be its own thing?
It probably won't even be its own thing. The hospital's preparing right now for the Shriners Hospital is preparing a time for when the Shriners don't exist.
Well, that's why I think it won't be an independent body.
Anymore. Because most of the money that comes in now is from the TV ads. It's
online.
Shriners Hospital will exist well past the Shriners existing.
It's not boots in the ground donations anymore.
I think the appendant body thing will end as an attempt at survival. It'll be one of those like cutting off a limb to save your life attempts, and then you still bleed out and die.
They've tried that at least two or three times now, and it gets voted down every time overwhelmingly.
Well, yeah, because it's all Freemasons, so most people aren't going to. There's that attitude of I had to do it, so should you amongst a lot of Shrindom, which is a terrible way to look at the craft anyway. But I do think eventually it's just going to be an existential thing, right? Membership's going to decline. Money's going to continue declining, and it's going to be this Hail Mary. Maybe it works even.
It won't.
I don't know, but
it didn't work with it. It didn't work.
I feel like they're going to have to try.
I mean, the Elks, the Moose, and the Odd Fellows all did the whole, we're going to go co-ed. We're going to do all this stuff. And they're no.
No. Well, the co-ed thing, that's a different beast. That would be their death knell.
And then,
I think if they held themselves out as, hey, we're this open thing, you don't have to be a Freemason. And oh, by the way, we're like the only not Freemason place that's still male identifying exclusive. Right. And
yeah, from
that might be a big sell. Not right now, but give it 10 years.
I mean, if they do that,
come back around. That'll come back around. Yeah, you're right.
The thing is, most of the Freemasons will probably actually quit.
Yeah.
But
most of the Freemasons aren't active in the shrine anyway. It's just like the Scottish Rite and everything else. They collected a dues card.
Boy, we have a couple of healthy shrines up in our
neck. I'm not a Shriner, so I am in some ways talking out of my ass, but I would feel confident putting money down that the vast majority of names on the Shrine roll, at least here, haven't stepped foot in a Shrine or a Shrine function in a decade or better.
Yeah,
and I don't blame
that's possible. Most, that's probably
most of the Shrine events, most of the Shrine meet, the Shrine business meetings for mine are the most brutal business meetings I've ever said in my life. In Maester,
and by no means is this just the Shrine, right? This is also true of the Scottish Rite, and I do know that. And that's just it's the appendant body thing, right? People collecting dues cards or being a member because they want to be a member, but they're not, you don't see them, they're not engaged. And no, those are the people that when something goes in a direction they don't like, they just leave.
Yeah, no, yeah, there's
they don't say anything, they just move along.
There's some talk in general of like some of the appendant bodies going to like York Rite bodies going to being more quarterly based because, you know, you can still have rehearsals and stuff for like the degrees because you'll see Harlan, especially when you get into the Most Excellent Master and the Royal Arch, you got to rehearse those like with the floor work and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you don't need to get together once a month to like, hey, well, we got 9 guys. We opened.
Right.
And while there are some educational programs out there for the chapter and council that are very good, it's another night out.
Well, that's why I think a quarterly thing would not be a problem for me at all. In fact, I kind of prefer that. So this whole thing started with a conversation with a British guy who hangs around with this group of lodges who started mentioning, you know, if you're going traditional European concept, whatever, where's the Royal Arch, y'all? Mm-hmm. And
okay. True.
That's sort of what started all the discussion about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yep.
I heard that some guys were going to look into it, and then I didn't hear anything else until, well, this past week when I'm being handed a petition to get a chapter started. I was like, you're curious about that.
No, I mean, the Mark Master Mason's a good degree. The Virtual Past Master degree, Most Excellent Master degree is, and the Royal Arch Mason, the Royal Arch degree, like if you're like on the dais for the Royal Arch, that's a long night.
It's a long degree.
It's a long degree. And like if you're on the dais, you pretty much get to take a nap for an hour. As one of the top three officers, because you don't do anything until like almost the end.
Yeah.
Well,
and like the Virtual Past Master degree, the only reason we have that here is because we needed to put it in place to remain in accord with England, because you traditionally had to be a past master to be able to petition a royal to, or be allowed to join Mark Lodge or Royal or the Royal Arch. So that's how the US got around it, is you have this Virtual Past Master, which is going to be the shortest degree short of like maybe a couple of dependent bodies you'll ever sit through.
Usually
a 20-minute degree.
Usually we will do the Mark and it, or it and
Most Excellent.
The Most Excellent, because you can bang out the Virtual Past Master degree in 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, that's what we do up here a lot, is with that one gets double billed to the preceding or the ensuing degree one way or the other, just because.
And then going into council, the Royal Master, which I love that degree. And there's one part of conferring that degree when you're the equivalent of the junior warden in the council. Being able to do that part is fantastic. And it's the only degree in Maestery we actually get to interact with Hiram Abiff. And then
nothing.
And then the Selectmaster closes up a bunch of the plot holes of Ancient Craft Masonry. And then the Super Excellent Master, which is an optional degree.
Which is the dingiest name for a degree, by the way. But
That's
a big degree.
It's a different one.
So here we do a tri-state thing where you get Massachusetts, New York, Connecticut.
Because for that degree, you need it.
Massachusetts and New York. Every other year, they go back and forth. Who's doing the Royal and Select, right? Super Excellent is conferred by the Grand Council here. It's got 50 speaking parts. So the reason the Super Excellent Master usually only happens at like once a year and at festivals is because to pull it off, not only need a bunch of people.
I don't think we've done the Super Excellent in Minnesota in at least 5 years.
We do it. We actually are recording it once a year here.
Delegate it to your local Scottish Rite Valley since they apparently have the manpower to pull off massive degrees on the reg.
I mean, you're not wrong, but and a bunch like up here.
No. They can pull off degrees with Masonic furniture. We don't talk. They can't pull off degrees where you actually have to learn your lines.
And by the way, it's 40 or 50 speaking parts. There's a lot of extras that.
The props too. Like, you're insane. And also, you don't want to do this degree for like three dudes.
I don't know. My belly's done entire reunions for three dudes. But yeah, I'm thinking the 32nd degree has a lot of people, but
you also need a big room.
It's only like 35 people. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I'll do that at some point once I open this York Rite can, and I look forward to recounting my opinions on the show so I can fluster you York Rite guys. Probably just going to end up quoting Albert Pike about how the York Rite's wrong about everything.
See, now I got to get myself in one of these bodies now, too, because I just feel like I'm so left out. I know none of it.
You know, the Scottish Rite, Jamie, is it's a good place
probably
to start.
For where he is, probably at least a good 9-hour drive.
Yeah. Now I got to ask, because it never occurred to me before. I know how the York Rite, and it's not a right, but I know that works in roughly Canada. How does the Scottish Rite work in Canada? Because you're not...
They're sponsored under the Southern Jurisdiction.
Yes!
Yeah.
Okay, so you know more than me, because I really don't know.
Well, again, the issue with, the reason that we have the different things is that Scottish Rites tend to be more urban-centered, and the York Rite bodies, at least chapter and council, are more lodge-centered.
Yep.
So
give me something a little more. Give me a little more stupid because of the smoke and the drinky drink.
I
can't remember which one of them does. Which one of them is based more in Catholicism than the other?
Scottish Rite.
Well, it's Teutonic Knights and Kabbalah and all that other stuff that Pike.
18th degree.
Which is a crappy Maundy Sunday service, as I said.
Hierarchy's
based.
Well, I thought one of them, it was actually a requirement versus being. So okay.
And the hierarchy of the Scottish Rite is based off of Vatican hierarchy, but
who's counting?
The 18th degree is easy to misplace symbolism for doctrine.
And
people do that, and it gets. It's like a recurring thing, at least in my valley, where there's even a whole like spiel that the class director gives after the degree, mine a little one before, to remind people that masonry is a symbolic endeavor.
Yeah,
we do the same thing. However, when you get outside the United States, the Scottish Rite requires you to be Trinitarian Christian.
Masonic fundamentalism.
Above the 14th right. degree.
Chuck. After the 18th degree. And that used to be the case here, too.
It never was in the southern jurisdiction.
So York it is.
In fact, that's part of the opening speech, is that there may be jurisdictions that have or do require that, but that has never been the case.
Yes, the ones you guys have, you gave all your charters to.
Yeah, all of them. Which is interesting. I always wondered, like, so how's the Supreme Council let that fly? But
because
I feel comfortable knowing in my Scottish Rite, that's never been the case.
Yes, it was. It just, they never cared because there were no Jews anywhere.
There were, though.
No, there weren't.
Five of the founding members of the Supreme Council were Jews.
And they all just said, whatever. Because Pike was also a Grand High Priest before he was Scottish Rite. And a Knight Templar.
Yeah, but...
And that's why he put all the three times... By the way...
That means they were 33rd.
When I get to the 18th degree, that's great, Harlan. All this shit from 19 to 32... You were a tap dancer on all the Crusader stuff. And around all of that.
Thing about Islam, I do struggle with the Crusader bit. And feel bad for Jacques de Molay, but don't feel bad for the Crusaders.
And then, Chuck, are you like as high as you can go in the Templar Knights as well?
He has received all the degrees he can receive in the Templar Knights. He can become a Grand Officer if it's an
11. No, I can't. You shut up.
He could be.
And what about you, John? Are you in the same position as him?
No. Well, I mean, I'm a past elected Grand Officer. So, but all that is I'm not going further and getting more degrees. What that is more, more heartburn.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Your past people messed up Oak Island really, really bad. And how dare you lie to me and tell me you didn't know anything about it?
There are guys at work who are so obsessed with that.
I will. Here's my disclaimer. I will take absolutely no claim at all whatsoever for the events or activities of anybody involved with Oak Island, Scott Walter, or Tim Hogan. That's it. Done.
Dude, he's gone off the rails again. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. I'm well aware.
I thought he was back on the rails, and apparently he's complete. What's he now claiming? What's his newest claim, John? Like, I can't actually, I think, put words to it because it doesn't.
I've lost
track. Every time I watch it, I black out. he's like now claiming he is like the original Grand. Harlan's leaving. Why?
I just need to recharge for
this. Well, and here's the other.
He's like, I'm the original Grand. I am the Grand Master of all Masons now. Is his shtick?
There's some sort of fury afoot, and I want to get Ben Williams on the show because the man's brilliant. He's Rocky Mountain Mason podcast.
I know he is, and even he was kind of like,
He knows, like, he's called Tim Hogan out on his shit, and when Tim's lost his lid, he's like, well, here's this and this and this and this, because he's an attorney. He handles it like an attorney.
I mean, Tim Hogan, I mean, look, all his consumption of mercury aside, and his whole, hey, I'm here with an Eastern European prostitute, resurrection of Mary Magdalene, that I'm now and I turn him blue, so he's not blue anymore. And I mean blue. I mean he used to be like toilet bowl blue because he was mercury poisoned, and now he's like, I'm the actual Grand Master of all Masons.
Yeah. Well, and like, here's the other problem I have is
and I'm like, oh man, like you're on all the drugs, aren't you?
I have my signed copy of the Blu-ray of 33 and Beyond. I've seen some of Johnny Royal stuff. The films and stuff were pretty good. He shagged the ball on York right a bit, but. But now, from what I've seen on YouTube and stuff and in social media, like, Johnny Royal's, like, now part of the Tim Hogan hitch-along wagon thing, and they're both kind of bouncing back and off of each other. That's f-ing fantastic.
And by the way, brothers, this is why when you see someone like, well, they're on their own path to light. When they're doing this shit. No, you roll up the newspaper. Bad.
You're on your own path to light, but if you're all of a sudden going to go, I'm the Grand Master of insert whatever body here that nobody's heard of, and it's been around for 5 years, whatever. No dice. I got a bunch of Tim Hogan's books. I've read them. They're insightful. Lots of leaps of faith. Lots of dots not getting connected. Some are good. Some are a little wishy-washy. But I can say the same thing about a lot of Masonic writers, past and present. But he, there's a level, like I spoke to the man at length 10 years ago when he came to our state during our York Rite annual conference. Brilliant conversation. It was me, Hogan, and McNeely. Brought up a lot of brilliant points, stuff like, well, this, if this is this, then it must mean this. So he's jumping to conclusions. But they're interesting points of thought. And if that's your individual path you want to go on, that's cool. But if all of a sudden you're like, I'm the grand master of this thing, or I've inherited this charter from, 800, whatever. No, done. Nope. And I have an issue, especially with my, I don't have an issue with my church, but as a Joanite with the AJC, he's connected to one of our bishops closely out in Denver. And nothing against my bishop out there, but there's enough like cross-pollinization where I'm starting to go like, and the same bishop started propounding the stuff that Scott, the rubbish that Scott Walter puts out, and that guy's drinking Drano.
Well, and again, that's my,
and he's, and I disclaimer, I'm speaking ill of a brother of my state because he's a member here of the York Rite and the Scottish Rite.
And I love esoteric, by the way, I love esoteric stuff. I got an entire bookshelf there full of it. Right?
Yeah. No.
Here's the problem with a lot of the esoteric stuff is that, one, most Masons don't know what that means. Two, there's a lot of charlatans out there. And three,
snake oil?
Carolina?
Manly P. Hall still is a thing, which just shows that we as Masons will buy anything if you slap esoteric and Freemason on it.
Because they don't really believe know
whatever bullshit you blow up our asses.
Oh, man. I don't know if I go that far.
Yeah.
One of the hallmarks of an academic is being able to entertain an idea without accepting it.
So,
but the problem is, Harlan, is that most of the people who buy this stuff, they read it and they think it's true because it's in a book.
But
that's like saying I read it on the internet, so it's got to be true. Wasn't there a saying many times, like years ago, I read it in a book, so it's got to be true? Because we all know people lie, whether it's the written word, the spoken word, the
media. A brother would not lie to me.
Not supposed to.
I was like, no. I mean,
that's an issue. Yeah.
I have holes in my back from knives that were put in my back by brothers.
I lie to my brothers all the time.
Don't say.
When I say, hey, good to see you.
Yeah.
Well, those are the social lies that don't hurt nobody.
No. I mean, I have knives in my, I have holes in my back from actual knives from brothers.
Chuck, that's why when I go partying.
I've been Caesared multiple times. Trust me.
Now when I go partying with a brethren, this is why I bring this for my bottle opener, by the way.
Yeah. So there are brothers out there who literally, and I wish I could say it's newer guys who are naive. Yeah, that we are human, and humans suck. I've got 10,000 years of written history to prove that one out. Mm-hmm. There are guys who've been around the block a while, and they're like, "I'm like, you what?"
Oh, there's guys that just want to protect the oligarch.
But again, we're supposed to be rising above that to be better men. And we actually are. Uphold to the at least the promises we make to one another, let alone the rest of the world. You got to start somewhere, and we're supposed to be keeping those to each other.
And I mean, any guy who can read Manly P. Hall and be like, "Wow, this guy was not a complete crock of shit." I don't know that. At that point, I'm like,
to Jamie's point, as somebody whose name just recently got painted over by a very broad black brush, and had to make sure with our now newly installed Grandmaster, most worshipful brother Datenberg, who is about five shades of awesome, by the way, and I'll stab anybody that says different. Having to make sure with the Grand Lodge that my name wasn't Mud, because some of our 33rds got their other way to put this. Some of our 33rds got their dresses blown up by the wind and very angry about something that my name got wrapped into, that I had actually declared conflict of interest and exited myself from. So yeah, the whole don't lie to your brother, treat him as your family kind of thing goes out the window, and it gets multiplied if there's titles involved in some occasions.
Yeah, but we treat family worse than anybody else we treat most of the time, isn't it? Shouldn't we treat brothers better than family?
I grew up in a different kind of family, so I mean, and well, I mean, I've got two members of the craft that are most specifically two out of my three closest friends that are I'm closer to than my family on a lot of occasions, but I don't know. I didn't, of course, I also didn't grow up around my half siblings, and they're all half daft. Half of them are half daft, and the other half are I just rather not talk to. So, yeah, okay. To your point, Jamie, you win.
Well, and I don't mean it's that we're mean, but we have a tendency to take advantage of family without even meaning to take advantage of family, too. Like, we all do that.
That's true. I mean, I don't know. I live in a state where, you know, we have our term called Minnesota Nice, which every other state in the union and everywhere else on the planet just refers to by the proper term of passive aggressive. So,
yeah.
Well, gee golly.
Oh, we all have passive aggressive family people. Holy shit. Yeah. I don't even want to get into that because I call it. None of my family listens to this, thank goodness. But if they ever somehow found out that I did it and took interest, I wouldn't want to upset anybody. But God, my aunt. I mean, nothing. I mean...
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Wow. And off it goes.
Yeah, we're just gonna go ahead and back that right on up.
Yeah.
Topic. What are we doing?
So Florida. That's yeah. Oh. No, don't even want to mention that stuff.
What's gone sideways in Masonry recently? Because apparently I missed Florida.
Yep, I've not been.
I saw something about DC about and socks.
Oh, that was that's become a meme. That's
a Masonic meme at this point.
I was just outside of DC last week, and I wish I would have had time to show up to one of their meetings, because I had all sorts of interesting socks, specifically because I knew I was going to DC, and just in case I made it to the lodge.
John packed his pink socks.
No, I packed my fish socks.
Yeah, even better.
Ooh, a kilt and fishnet stockings.
I also understand the desire for
nipple tassels.
Texas is still doing dumb stuff. They're not really sure what's going on there.
I've been following a lot of the Texas thing, but I'm not really sure
that we can blow the can out, the lid off the can yet, or what?
Well, that. Or I'm not really sure who's bullshitting who sometimes, and so I'm kind
of
waiting.
There's a lot of smoke blowing up.
More cards to fall down there.
Yeah.
For those of you who are interested, since it is 2023, there's plenty of Masonic drama to be researched. I won't recommend any specific websites, but if you're on the Reddits, they are easily found.
So can you give a summary in a very neutral and lawyerly type fashion?
The incoming Grandmaster, well, the current Grandmaster, who was then the incoming Grandmaster, preferred Masonic...
Classy!
Yes, he had to do with drinking at some point or something. Well,
that's the part that I keep hearing different things from different people about.
Okay.
The original story I got was that there was, it had to do with not drinking, but the possession of an alcoholic beverage on a lodge premises, which I somehow thought Texas was a little beyond that. And that was more of a mountain people kind of thing, but
which part, having the problem with the booze there?
Yeah.
Actually having the booze there.
Well, yes. No, having a problem with it. I guess, okay. I just assume Texas is more progressive than maybe it is in a lot of ways.
They allow your law.
Because I go to Texas all the time, like at least once a month, but I'm always in Dallas, and I'm understanding now that Dallas is not reflective of Texas generally.
Well, yeah, it's like saying Austin is not reflective of Dallas or Texas generally.
Austin's not reflective of
anything.
Austin lately, so
it's weird. And they said the same thing about DC. Like the Grandmaster, like said, "Thou shalt wear black suits, white shirt, black tie, black socks."
Thing about formal dress.
No,
I can even appreciate.
No, it was something about guys being on, making sure everyone's on the level or something,
right? But
and that everyone's dressed the same, but it required. And there were guys who were like, "I'm not going and buying a black suit. I'm just on the sidelines. I'm gonna be." And then some guys like showed up to Grand Lodge in their black suits and wore like flamboyant socks and all got like suspended.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like,
but the wacky socks is like a modern men's fashion thing anyway.
He didn't like fancy ties. He didn't want anything. So the guy showed up with socks. He's like, "You're all suspended, remember?" And no one really knows. Guy has purple and
pink in his tie.
And now, and he's like threatening to sue people who like post stuff online.
Because
he doesn't understand the Streisand effect.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I hope,
like, apparently they're like looking into like charging people who talk about it online. So can't have fun with that one. And he's like charging people who aren't in his jurisdiction and trying to get other grand jurisdictions to charge people to like point out that he's an idiot.
Chuck, you got to send me the link.
It's on the ODAP's got it in like this ongoing threads, and it's dumber than soup.
I'm gonna poke the eye of power,
and for a Grand Lodge, for a very small district, by the way.
Yes,
DC's not gigantic. They have more like lawyers and legal people. Like if you look at their Grand Lodge stuff. Than California, Texas, and PA combined.
It's DC. It'd be like having a Grand Lodge of, in comparison, Jamie, but like having a Grand Lodge of Quebec and like having it within a 5-mile radius of the state house. Like you're going to have nothing but politicians and lawyers and random assholes.
It is the dumbest thing. And you have to live in DC.
Yeah.
Which means you're an American living in a place where you don't get a senator or a congressman.
Taxation.
Yes, you have no representation.
And they choose that.
My only
because hope. Because moving 7 miles that way would put you in Maryland or Virginia and would fix all your problems.
My only hope is the ensuing Grandmaster has a good sense of humor, puts out an edict that says you have to wear black underwear under your black suit, and then the first person he spots checks would be this Grandmaster in lodge. Because that's how stupid this socks and bow tie thing is. That's how, if you're asking what I'm wearing under my pants, I will show you exactly what I'm wearing under my pants.
Yeah, you want to see what's in my pants? I'll slap you across the face with it.
Yeah,
and that's funny.
Three foot 5 pounds teal guy in my state. White House and shag.
The most hardcore teal guy in my state. When he's not at his teal lodge's functions, he always has like a colorful bow tie on.
Yeah,
he wears one to work like that. Like, I mean, well, meanwhile, like my lodge, you know, we're like you know, we got degree work and stuff. Like, you know, we're in tuxes and we're doing stuff. But like most meeting nights, most guys are like in whatever they come for work. So some guys are in lodge polos and they throw the sport coat on, whatever. Some guys are in suits and ties. Some guys are in, you know,
well,
jeans and flannel.
If you can make it to lodge, just make it to lodge.
Yeah,
that's it. Again, there's a time and a place for everything. Like somebody said, hey, you know, you guys are at party lodge. I'm like, do you have a bar in the basement? No, no, we're not a party lodge. Like, we do a lot of events, you know, barbecue, town festival.
Hey man,
when we do degree work, like we crush degree work. Like we are in tuxedos. We will. It's like, well, you know, you did a degree in June, and you guys were in khakis and polos. Yeah, we don't have air conditioning, and I'd rather have guys that have heat stroke.
Yeah.
Well, when I was still,
and when you're hoodwinked, what does it matter?
No shit.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And when I was with Dakota Lodge still, I would come to work. I'd show up after work. I'd be wearing a suit because I was working for the state. And there was one occurrence where I sat down next to a guy who was in Carhartts and stuff because his job was to scale up cell phone towers. Nick's an awesome guy, and you showed up. Awesome. Who gives a shit? I mean, yeah, you should dress up for degree nights. If you're in the cast and if you're an officer, if you're there,
if you have the ability to go home and get cleaned up and then go to lodge, that's great. Yeah. Last year when I was master, I intentionally made sure I always had my sport coat, a dress shirt, and a tie in my car because I'm master.
Mm-hmm.
But
at least have that, yeah.
Like I've been in jeans all week because. At work, because I might have to go down to the floor and all that stuff for something.
And you work on your knees, is that what you're saying, Chuck?
Winter, dinner.
Work, volunteer.
But, you know, the thing, it's like, you know, I remember guys like when I first moved to the state, and you know, I couldn't find my dress shoes, right? Because I have kids and they hide shit. So I put on my Vans, and I was getting chewed out by this old guy for being in khakis, a dress shirt, a tie, and a sport coat with not dress shoes. I was like, and I'm like, really, dude? I had one guy actually chew me out for wearing cowboy boots to lodge. My black dress cowboy boots.
That's better than Vans.
We had and I'm like, these are nicer than my actual black shoes I wear to commandery.
Yeah.
Yeah, we.
And I don't wear these in commandery because you can't do the turns right.
Yeah. No, we had a past grand commander that constantly wore, he always wore cowboy. He was my predecessor as chair of jurisprudence, Ken, and he always wore cowboy boots. Always. To be fair, he was a little short. So, I mean, that might be why, but I never saw him. I never saw him in anything that wasn't cowboy boots with his uniform or with like monogram sleeves because he liked detail. But like, so like Grand Chapter or Grand Council, tradition prevailing, our show friend Sean Gardner will become our illustrious Grand Master.
I know. I wish I could be there.
Well, and knowing Sean, and he's already warned me, I will, tradition prevailing, I'll be his chaplain. So the trick is all of in our body and or in our state and everywhere else, if you're a grand chapter or a grand council officer, you wear a purple coat.
I'm glad we don't have that. I just do the tuxedo vest with a tie.
Chuck, Sean, I'm going to be the preacher. It's a purple pinstripe zoot suit. I just wanted to say that. Because if somebody's going to make me dress a certain way, I'm going to follow the rules, but I know how to bend them. So I'm going to be wearing my minister's collar in a purple pinstripe zoot suit.
No, I know. No, yet next year. Well, I don't know. I can't. Fuck. No, I wanted to get out there for that because he'll be out here for this probably again.
But like that's to my point of the socks and the bow ties. Really, if a grandmaster is going to be focused on that and not the harmony of the brotherhood within their jurisdiction, especially a jurisdiction you can throw a frisbee across, what are you doing? If you want to see my thing to the Grandmaster of DC would simply be, if you want to see what happens when you trip over your own ego once you get in office, look what happened at Grand Encampment level a year and a half ago.
Yep.
And see how that played out and see how much salt and respect the individual carries. And speaking as not as a grand whatever but as a Sir Knight, if you're going to be a person in power who's going to comport themselves like an asshole, one, if people can like not listen to you, that's going to happen.
That's good. Yeah.
And two, once you leave office, you are about as useful as a spent roll of toilet paper.
Nobody so the best thing I ever heard from a grandmaster was, so you can do all, yeah, technically you can do whatever you want as a grandmaster. And he was saying this. He's like, look, you can do whatever you want. And they can, you know, at least in our jurisdiction, you are immune from any repercussions from that. However, the incoming grandmaster can pretty much snap his fingers and undo everything you did that was not voted on. And, oh, by the way, if you want to be a Mason and never be allowed to attend anything again,
you don't
what want happens to is person. It's not your lodge. You don't have to live. So if you want to do all this stuff and you want to go, I'm the grandmaster, I can do whatever the I want. Yeah. And when you're done being grandmaster, you will not be welcome anywhere.
But so, isn't that like life in a sense of you deal with the repercussions of your actions and hopefully you'll learn a f-ing lesson?
Yeah. You'd think so, but a lot of the, well, in so in some states and some bodies, there's a lot of money thrown around to get there.
Goddamn money.
At Grand Lodge level, at the Grand Encampment level, the Shrine level, you don't just get that because you're good at the job. Like you throw money around. Those are positions you get those positions because you are a multimillionaire and you are
not for being good at prostate tickling.
Yeah.
That'll carry you a couple votes no matter what.
But no matter what, in whatever state you're in, you're a past grandmaster. Congrats, you're a past. There are states in the United States that they don't have the title of past master.
I wish I was one of them.
Texas, by the way, Texas is one of them.
How does that work?
You serve as master while you're master,
and then when you're done, you're done.
So you're
that's good.
So like, yeah, it'd be, you'd be Brother Jamie, past master, but like in Minnesota, you're worshipful brother, so-and-so guy. Right. And that's new-ish in Minnesota, but...
No, in Texas, it's just, you go back. your worshipful master, your worshipful brother Chuck, and then you're done.
Your brother Chuck.
Your brother Chuck. You're done. There is no title.
Your
brother. I kind of like that because then you don't have to remember who's who and how many bullshit. Well, not bullshit, but not to belittle the achievements of other brothers, but once you're no longer in those offices anymore, it is, yeah, we're your brother again. That's the reality of it.
Again, I'm a past loss of things, right?
Mm.
And I'll be blunt. If someone forgets me or something like that, like I've been corrected on the Reddits that I'm not referring to being a past commander. Well, you're a past eminent commander. And if you were actually cared about the commandery, you wouldn't force people calling you this. I'm like, yo.
You really hear someone trolling you about that?
If you actually, I get a lot of hate mail through Reddits.
Oh, well, wow. If you actually care,
King of No Pants gets hate mail? No.
If you actually care about the title, look, there are certain times and positions, like you're in the I'm inspecting a council, they have to call me by my actual council name. And I'm telling them that in the East, as they're inspecting me, how to actually refer to me as, right? Because I'm out there to bust their balls.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually care about our bullshit made-up titles in Masonry, you don't matter in the real world. Because all the guys who get really hung up outside of certain times when matters to actually, you know, do the whole recognition thing, like at the grand assemblies, a reception, whatever, right? Those are the guys I don't respect. I have never met a district deputy, past district deputy or district deputy or a grand whatever, who if you just call him brother or by his first name, like the guys who get mad.
You're a douche nozzle, is what you
are. Like, yeah, no, oh, that. I don't give a fuck what you say. Okay, you're that guy. Got it.
Well, and Chuck.
And by the way, since I'm an asshole, I've actually told guys to their faces, like, oh, so you don't matter in the real world then, do you?
Is all you have, isn't it?
Because if you want my titles, I can give you titles. I got two titles I care about. Father, big fan of that one. Two, doctor.
I say
seriously, kiss my ass.
No,
I like being husband and brother. And father.
Ball archer of the Grandmaster. Good for you. Thank you.
I do love how I can time the production of our show by the FPMs coming from Chuck. That's how we know how far along we are.
Well,
I am intoxicated.
Before you put the lid on the angry short dwarf, to his point.
That's a hobbit, you son of a bitch.
You hairy footed.
You talk too much for a hobbit.
Not true. I like 7 meals a day and I go on walks.
Okay, tough but fair. Our friend of the show, Sean, and I know Harlan, it's your great information, sorry, but you'll appreciate it.
He's not a hobbit. He's very large.
I'll care soon enough.
So, Sean put forward a motion that's coming up at our annual session, both in chapter and council, to remove past titles from the honorific of a companion. Meaning you are, Jamie, so instead of brother, it's companion.
Gotcha. Yep.
It's, you know, companion John Helsel. Well, then you become, you know, past high priest John Helsel, or not in my case, past illustrious master John Helsel, blah, blah. Or we have got past grands in our jurisdiction, especially that will insist that you refer to them as most excellent companion or most illustrious companion, because those are the honorifics for the grand side. Sean pissing off a very large, well, not very large, but a very verbose and admittedly ancient group of the Orc. There's no two ways to put it. There's nobody in our generation that has a problem with it. I'll leave it at that. Tough shit.
Understood.
Yeah. But he's putting it forward where, like, once you're out of office, you're back to companion. So in like Sean's case, he's a past grand high priest, and he will be Jewish prevailing grand illustrious master, which means when he leaves office, he's again companion Sean Gardner, but then it just companion Sean Gardner, past illustrious master. It's not, you're not tacking the please blow me three magic words at the top of anytime you're addressing. Like, seriously, there's a guy in our state that will, if you don't use the proper title, he'll correct you on the spot.
And by the way, that's how we are.
The most bloviating shitbag I've ever met in my life. And I mean that in the most brotherly way.
Yeah, so that's how we are here, is that when you're a past for a grand thing, you're just companion.
You're just companion.
Well, you're companion, whatever. And then you recognize past, but usually, anybody, the only time you're getting recognized is in your home body.
Yeah, I mean, your home body will, like, they'll give you the tip of the hat just out of, like,
And the only other time you ever get introduced with the full title is when the current head of the body is there for his formal reception.
Yes.
And you do it to the old guys because they don't want to get out of their chairs, but you make them. And they're like, really? I don't want to do this. Yeah, no, we're going to give you the whole record. Especially for Commander, where you got to do the whole arch still stuff. And they're just like, I was Chuck, actually lectured by a past grand damn near all the things. He's like, look.
Well, and
if you're actually going to, he's like, if you're going to do the title and all that stuff, you have to do it correctly.
Well, at least
Chuck, before you just let me sit on the sidelines. And I'm like,
you had to do some work and pay for it.
Well, he's like 82. So he's like, I'd rather just sit on the sidelines and be like, hi. But if you're actually going to make me get up and walk and do all this stuff,
do it. You have to do it right. Like, you have to do it full tilt or be like, okay, we get a way for a pass. But from what I've seen, the people that bark the most about retaining that title after they've left office, whether it's constituent, local, or grand state level, are the people that, one, there's two different things. They either did a dog shit job in the role when they were in it, but they want to retain the title, or two, they want to retain the title, but they've done all for the body since they left the office. And occasionally there's, you know, one, you know, there's the person that'll embody both, which is just the great.
Right. They did while they were in there and while they were out.
Right. And so, yeah, no. And like the guy that I'm referring to that insists, like, uses title. That's that guy. He's a dark top. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of them, but there's definitely one in my sticking out in my head. Anybody from Minnesota that is my age that's listening to this will go, they'll know exactly who I'm talking about.
Without having to say any names, they know.
No, I don't even have to say a name, especially if it's like me saying this. And it's fairly accurate. If you are so possessive of that title, turn that energy back to back into the craft as effort, not trying to seek social blow jobs from brethren. That's it.
Yep. Same thing. Sure. There's phrasing for certain titles too that guys get hung up on. And my reply was, we could put any words you want in there. That title to whatever it is going forward. It doesn't change what you did during your time.
And the famous words of Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately?
No, not even that. Like we could just, the title could be like illustrious grand potato. Illustrious grand tomato. Just changing the title. There are some guys who get really like, no, I'm the illustrious grand potato, not tomato. And you'd be like, but here's the thing.
Potato?
It doesn't matter if we change your past title. because it doesn't take away from anything you did to earn
the title.
Said meetup title. So I could call you the illustrious Grand Biscuits, and it doesn't change the fact that, yes, you were the illustrious Grand Potato, but now we use the term illustrious Grand Biscuits. But it doesn't take away
from the fact. I like the illustrious Grand Potato.
But it doesn't change what you did when you were here.
That makes it sound official, Potato. I think he's passed away now, but down in Iowa, there's a past grand of several of the York Rite bodies, Frank Azdoba. And I'll gladly use his name because he was just just down to earth and freaking hilarious. I met Frank at one of our banquets a handful of years, probably 10 years ago now. And he would give out business cards. That was at these sessions, it was like Frank Azdoba, and there was like this long sequence of letters after his last name. You'd be like, what in the hell is this? He goes, well, when I had them made, I didn't have any titles or whatever. And so it's like, and he would explain it. It was like, it was like a combination of like Lord Vader and like Pi, and like, it was freaking, because he just made absolute fun of it.
Ridiculousness.
Yeah, he was just like, I don't care. So he put that stuff on there to just get all the other people that were all spooled up about that shit wound tighter. And it was absolute hilarity.
And they're trying to figure out what it is.
Right, yeah, because they'd be like, because like the same guy I talked about being a pain in the ass with, if I wear like a lapel pin that looks symbolic, but it's not Masonic, like my clergy pin or whatever.
Okay.
They're like, try to stare at it and figure it out, and figure it out if it's an invitational body, and figure it out if it's an invitational body he can either start or join so he can get the pin, because he's that asshole.
Okay.
But Frank was fantastic. He didn't care. He was like, yeah, I did the work, and I still do the work, and whatever. And he was the embodiment of a true proper past master of any level, of any body. It was like, I leaned in, I took the lead, and I still work as I can when I'm done. And just call me brother or Frank. That was it.
That's fine. Yep.
That's exactly how it should be.
And that guy's still there to get out of it what he can get out of it, but he's also willing to put something into it to get something out of it.
Right. And the fact that he was so cavalier about it, that got him way more respect, hands down, for every person he met, other than somebody who insists, oh, I'm actually, my title is most worship or most excellent or more, because those assholes need that title presented before because they don't have any works.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, his reputation like preceded himself by weeks. Just say it. It's the work, not the title.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. Harlan? You're surprisingly quiet for an attorney. Or not.
Just quiet. Call me brother.
Exactly. I figured that was his opinion, therefore he just kept his mouth shut. That was pretty much...
How does this work in the Scottish Rite, Harlan?
I go out of my way to make sure that I am delivering the proper honorifics to the proper people at the proper time. But that is something wholly different from them expecting it.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that is a big difference, isn't it?
Dude, I used to be a soldier. That's exactly it. It was,
mm-hmm.
But like, you know, it was the line from Band of Brothers was, you salute the rank, not the man. It's,
well, the military
that of you give the respect to the man, the rank.
Right, but the military's a bit of a different boat because the commanding officers have an obligation to maintain proper order and decorum, which includes enforcing that they be addressed and
they can demand that.
Like, they have to, right? You can't be the company commander that wants to be the cool guy and hang out with your brothers, because that's not your job. And if you're not being addressed appropriately or proper ceremonies not being followed, like, even if you don't like it, you have to make that happen because it's part of cohesive military discipline. Our craft is not the military, in spite of what some people, anyway. And so the honorifics that we bestow upon our people are supposed to come from the craft, which is why I go out of my way to observe them. But you don't have the obligation, for instance, as the Grand Master, in spite of what some Grand Masters may think, to enforce that kind of decorum or unit cohesion, right? You, if somebody's not addressing you as most worshipful, maybe you don't deserve it, or they just don't know, or whatever. In either case, you let their brothers sort that out if they choose. When you start demanding it, you just look like a douche, which is the same thing you guys were saying. I'm just kind of coming at it from the other angle. Now, guys in my lodge, when the master introduces a dignitary and doesn't know the proper way to do that, and I whisper to him after lodge to make sure he knows for next time, well, that's different because it's not coming from that guy.
Yeah.
It's coming from me wanting to make sure that our lodge demonstrates the proper knowledge and decorum in honor of the fraternity. However, if one of those dignitaries had tried addressing the master about it himself, I might have counseled the master, you know what? It's better if you just forget it every time.
Oops, I forgot.
Yeah.
Harlan, to your point, and I'm going to tie this into pop culture, actually, now that being a huge Marvel fan since I was a kid. To get a grasp of what we're talking about, all you have to do is watch the Marvel movies, watch anything, preferably Captain America movies, and then you watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I'll tie this together quickly.
That's good, because we're about done for the night.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I was done for the night 20 minutes.
A good closing point, though. So, Captain America, everybody knows him. In Falcon Winter Soldier, there's a new Captain America after old Cap passes away. The new Captain America is all about ego and everything else. And through the whole series, he introduces himself to everybody as, "Hi, I'm Captain America. Hi, I'm Captain America." If you watch any single one of the Marvel movies where it's Chris Evans as Captain America, he introduces himself each and every time as Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
He's Steve Rogers. He just happens to be Captain America. The other asshole's trying to be Captain America.
Well,
be the Steve Rogers.
Well, yeah, like, it's, you're Captain America to everyone else, not to yourself. So,
well, and it's in that case, it's, they're putting the identity of Captain America on him.
He's right.
I'm just Steve Rogers.
Well, it's the same thing that we should be doing with our purple people eaters, or I guess the same independent bodies, right? It's
a cup of coffee.
You're the poobah to your brethren, not to yourself. So if they don't recognize you as such, that's on you. You don't get to demand it.
That's right.
Deserve if your it. Craft doesn't have enough respect for the offices that it's created, maybe you should give them a reason to.
Mm-hmm. Step up.
Yeah, but if we did that, they wouldn't get elected.
Or they eventually would, and the right people would get in office.
Well, yeah, that's...
That's not how that works. Like, that's why I'm in a grand line.
I don't know. I got a really good grand master now.
And the
guy was okay. No offense. I mean, he's our SGIG, but...
Well, I think it's because we've allowed things... I might be getting jurisdictional here, but when you allow things to go like that for long enough, you get a crop of Grand Lodge delegates who are ambitious, maybe without cause. And so they want to perpetuate that because they have this dream that one day it'll be their turn.
Right.
And it's kind of like, well, it's kind of like what used to be middle-class Americans voting against their own interest because they have this delusion that rules that disadvantage everyone else in favor of a handful will eventually be theirs.
That's right.
They're going to be that 0.001% one day. And so they want to maintain the
status
arbitrary protections of those people.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of mentality. You just have to dangle that carrot just enough. Like, this could be you. But it's not.
That carrot's got a long stick.
Now, our fraternity here is small enough that I might be wrong there. I think a lot of those delegates probably do. I mean, we have a new Grand Master every year. There's not that many Masons, so...
But it's expensive to be a Grand Master.
It can be.
Jurisdictional.
It can be.
Some jurisdictions have got a lot of money. Not that much expensive.
Yeah,
some jurisdictions, by the way,
pee across it.
And some jurisdictions are now no. And some jurisdictions are now broke because the Grand Masters and the Grand Line, all that, bled them dry.
Yeah.
On their dime. That
we had a potentate at my former shrine that actually managed to use his office and make money being potentate.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's
frowned upon.
You'd be surprised. There are some guys who make a lot of bank. If you are not willing to do what's best for your body or your masonic thing, there are jurisdictions that there are grandmasters who are staying at 4- and 5-star hotels when they travel with their $50,000 to $100,000 a year budget for their travel. Whereas
I have
just hilarious is because
mixed feelings about some of that, because
any of my travel going forward for the next several years is 100% of my own pocket. Unless when I travel to a jurisdiction, they'd be like, hey, the banquet's free.
It's because of that. It's because of that fine line between the things that you have to do and the things that you just want to do. Like,
yeah,
if I'm part of an organization that's sending somebody somewhere to do a job for me, and we have the ability to give them really nice accommodations, we should. But most of the travel that the Grand Lodge is doing isn't really, it doesn't fall in that same category of what I'm describing, where it's, you're not going to do a job for me. I mean, you could say you are, but like when you go to the Conference of Grandmasters, it's not the same as if
it's still for you.
It's not the same as if, for instance, you live on one end of the state and Grand Lodge meets on the other end of the state and we want our Grandmaster there. We're going to pay his way there and compensate his room. Probably a really nice one because we should. But if he wants to travel to, you know, Masonicon Southwest, well, that's not
the same. He doesn't need to be there.
There are jurisdictions when you hear some of the people when they talk about their budgets and what they get per year to travel, and you talk to them. There are guys who submit for mileage within their own state as grand whatever, as grand officers. Not even,
I mean,
again,
like, it's that thing of I wish we had more nuance on what are they doing, like.
I know
the craft likes
Harlan. I'm a grand officer. Yeah. I know what we're doing.
Well, I mean, the craft
show up
when their purple people eaters come to visit their lodges. And if that particular Oompa Loompa would be put out by funding that, then pay them mileage.
I
kind of agree with Chuck. And it sucks because the only problem then is you get people that can only afford to be grant
whatever,
and it's problematic.
But there's also just somebody's doing something and you have the ability to support. So a better example, and this isn't Purple People Eaters per se, but when my lodge does our quarterly festive boards and we fly in somebody to be our guest speaker, some author or whatever, like we don't just pay for their airfare, right? We try to get them the best travel arrangements we can. We put them up in the nicest place we can afford. Because you're doing us a favor, right? Like, yeah, you're serving the craft, but also
that is not the grand body giving you a black card to do whatever you want.
I hear what you're saying.
Here's the thing. Depending on which lodge a DD goes to or I am at, some lodges, they get comp meals. Show to my lodge, everyone pays. Unless they have talked to the master or junior warden or the owner about a hardship.
Well, you guys,
and if you're just deputy and you got a hardship, you shouldn't be just deputy.
So we do the same thing. Well, one of my lodges where we charge for meals. So the lodge you guys are from, the After Lodge is there's just a donation box. And the quality of that donation box dictates what dinner is going to be for the next meeting. But at my traditional-ish lodge, we do charge for the meal. And that's the same thing, right? Unless you were specifically invited by the lodge to join us, then somebody... And it's not the lodge, but somebody's paying for your meal, but everybody pays. Like obviously our guest speaker doesn't, somebody's going to pay for that. Or, if the district deputy came and because somebody invited him, but otherwise, if you just come of your own accord, paying up. But I think it's that thing of not having to pay for things that you can't afford. I do think that you shouldn't have to be self-employed and financially independent to be a Grand Lodge official.
Harlan, not to
interrupt. I'm none of those things.
I hear you. I'm closing.
But however, Harlan,
I was trying to wind it up and then y'all got me going again. I was trying to do this.
Say goodnight, Harlan.
You know what? Forget you guys. All right, I guess this is the end. I've then forgot how to do this. It's been so long. If episode 300,
that's what she said.
The After Lodge podcast.
The After Lodge podcast. You can find the show notes for this or any previously published episode. Emphasis published at www.afterlodge.com. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at After Lodge. Shoot us an email at afterlodge@gmail.com. Hang out with Chuck on the Reddits. He is the infamous king of no pants. Jamie is still on the IRC at irc.snoonet.org, # Freemasonry. I am soon to make an appearance on the Matrix Network somewhere. More details to follow on that. And I guess that's it. So we'll see you next week, brothers.
Toodles.
Slodger.